order in which anybody was going to come up and talk, but who wants to be first? Okay, Jessica. All right. Oh, you're going to need this because the air conditioner will drown you out.
Hello, I'm Jessica Stagno. Yeah. It was a blessing to go to the Philippines. I wanted to go for years to see the work that Manny and Terry were doing. And it was a blessing to see how they call him the pastor's pastor, because of the way he ministers to the local pastors. And it was really a blessing to see that and to see what he does in the Philippines and to be a part of it. The highlight of my trip was the Mon National High School. It was a public high school. We got to speak in 5 days. And just to be able to go into a public high school and preach the gospel to these students who had willing hearts to listen and ears to listen, it was a blessing. And after the third or fourth day of ministering to these children, we were invited to go see the captain of the barangay. That is the smallest local body of government that they have in the Philippines. And he had heard of the work that we were doing over in the high school, and he wanted to meet with us. And the blessing that came out of that meeting was that it opened doors for the national pastors that stay behind to go in there, and they already set up they were going to go in monthly and speak to the gangs and be able to give the gospel to the gangs. And with the help of this barangay captain, they were going to be able to do that. So that was just a great blessing to see that the doors that were opened for, you know, that it didn't have to be while we were there, just that they were opened. And it was great, and that's good. And Janice is going to say more, too. Right, Janice?
Can't figure out how this thing works. All right, then. I'll just hold it. Okay. okay, let's start with a little Cebuano. Maayong gabi'i satanan. Ako si Janice. Ako usaka maestra sa New York. That's all I learned in 2 weeks. I said, good evening, my name is Janice, and I'm a teacher from New York. So I got a verse to get me on this trip because I had always wanted to go, but they always went in April, and I couldn't go in April because I was a teacher, and I couldn't take that much time off from school. And then suddenly they were going in July, and I figured, I mean, in August, I was like, okay, great, I want to go. Then all of a sudden I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to go. I'm afraid. You all know I don't like to fly. 30 hours on a plane, 20 hours on a plane, however long it was, 3 or 4 days, a month, a week, I don't know. It just felt like a really long time. So I was praying about it. I said, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go, but you're going to have to really show me. And I finally got a verse, and it was Haggai 1:8. If you want to look for it. Haggai 1:8. So it says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So first of all, I had pastor. I was in his office. I was talking to him. I said, go to Google Maps. He said, well, we'll look up on Google Earth and see if there's mountains where we're going. I was like, well, that wasn't it. The mountain was my fear and having to get over it. So God was telling me, go to the mountain and do what you're afraid of and bring wood, and wood is the cross. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. And build the house, and that's what we were doing. We were building the house of God by witnessing to people and trying to tell them about the Lord and trying to be a blessing to the national pastors. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So I said, okay, gosh, you want me to go? I'll go. And it turned out, praise the Lord, through your prayers and everything, that the flights really, you know, Jessica and I sat together for 15, 16, 18 hours and just entertained each other, and we just had a good time, and it really wasn't bad, praise the Lord. And by the end, the last one, which was really turbulent coming home, at that point I just didn't care. I just wanted to come home. So, but while I was there, it was wonderful. I had a great time, and it's nothing like being in the center of God's will and knowing that you are where He wants you to be. Everyone was talking about, well, you know, maybe this would be dangerous, or, you know, this would happen or that would happen, but it doesn't matter because you're safe when you're in the center of God's will. The place is beautiful, and the people are beautiful. They have such beautiful spirits, and it was wonderful. We met Gemma Lynn's family and Manny and Terry. It was so good to see them again. And it's such a blessing after giving out tracts in New York, and, you know, there's somebody like says, I don't want that, and pushes it away or rips it up right in front of you and throws it on the floor, to have people come from across the street to get a track and say, can I have one? I want to give it to somebody else. It's just such a blessing to your heart to see something like that, to see them openness to the gospel. And we were in schools. We had a completely different plan. You know, we were supposed to go to Mati, and we were supposed to go to different places and stay in hotels. And the trip was totally different from what we initially thought it was going to be. But God didn't have a change of plans. God knew all along what was going to happen. It was just us who had to figure it out. And it was just a blessing because basically we were all teachers, Sunday school workers, youth workers, pastors, parents of young kids, and people who were just recently young kids. And that's who we got to talk to. And it was such a blessing to me as a high school teacher that I have to really be careful about talking about the Lord. I got to stand up in front of, we talked to 2,000 kids, and I just laid out the gospel right there. And it was half of my mind is going, what is going on here? I can't believe I'm doing this. And that was such a blessing to be able to just walk into a school and give a kid a track. It was really opened my heart. And then that one other day where we had some extra time to kill, we saw another school, and we just walked in there, and the kids flocked around us, and there was a competition, I think, to see who can get the most tracks, and kids were really taking 50 and 60 of them. So we said, okay, well, you just give them out to your parents. And it was just a blessing that God knew all along where we were going and what we were going to do. And it was a blessing for us to discover it. And it was also a blessing to get to know all of you guys who, you know, some of you I've been through thick and thin with, and then some of you, this was thick and thin that we've been through on our Wachikona mission trip, and I got my Wachikona bracelet. So praise the Lord, and Noelle wants to go next to get it over with.
Everybody, I want to start off by saying it's a blessing to be home. Thank you so much for your prayers. I have to agree with Jessica that the highlight of this trip for me was the school. Just the opportunities that we got on this trip were absolutely unbelievable. There's no way you'd be able to walk into a school here and just preach the gospel to kids and have them actually listen. That was just such a blessing to me. And even when we weren't in the classrooms, there was a hut or gazebo thing where we'd sit, and the kids would just flock around you. You'd start with a group of three, and you'd end up with a group of 30. It was just such a blessing. You just got to talk to them, and they'd listen. We also got to go to a hospital and just walk in a room and start talking to someone. I mean, you don't get to do that. It was just an amazing experience. The Lord just taught me a lot on this trip. One verse that I like is Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We read that in devotions either the first or second day, and it was a really good start and for me because I feel like I don't do enough while I'm here. I don't need to go around the world to witness to someone. I should be doing it here too. And it just kind of pricked my heart that I should be doing more here, and it's not, I don't need to go around the world to do that. He also strengthened my faith in Him. When we got stuck for a couple extra days, I was pretty upset. I wanted to be home. I'm not going to lie. But I kept telling myself, we're here for a reason. The Lord has us here for a reason. And when we're in the airport getting ready to come home, we were standing online ready to check in. I was thinking, why were we here? I kept trying to see for myself why we're here. I was questioning the Lord, which I shouldn't have. And He smacked me in the face because the pastor said right as I was thinking that, oh, did I tell you a guy got saved last night? So it's kind of shut up, stop questioning me. Like, we had a reason here, and even if it was just for that one man getting saved, that was it. It was all worth it. So I thank you for your prayers, and I don't know who wants to go next, but...
Well, like Noelle said, thank you for your prayers. It's glad to be back.
Yes.
Sort of still getting adjusted to everything, but I'll start off saying Akosi Rochelle. That means my name is Rochelle, and that's all I learned the 3 weeks that I were there. So, Janice, you did good. I think just overall, this trip was my first mission trip that I went on, and I know for me, I was able to see the Lord's hand work. I sat back and just saw the Lord's hand work, even before, you know, from the first airport that we got to when I got home yesterday, he was just in it, and it's just a blessing to be able to be used as a tool for the Lord to, you know, spread his word out. Like they said, we got to visit a school and even a hospital. And it's just crazy because those two places, you could count on every single person getting a tract or at least hearing the gospel. A whole school and a hospital. There's no way you could go to a school here or a hospital and be able to even, you know, share the gospel with at least, you know, one person. But to have every single person be able to, you know, hear that, the good news was just a blessing. And in Psalm 63 it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And just to see his power and his glory through this whole trip has been a blessing. And even, you know, when we were stranded and in Manila, a person got saved. So everything happens for a reason. There's no mistakes with God, and it's just usually we're the ones who have to, you know, die to our flesh and let the Lord work, you know. Step aside and let him work. But, because actually I was thinking, if this would have happened with the first group, you know, at least we had Nini and Pastor and Paul who've been there to the Philippines, and Nini speaks the language. If this would have happened with the first group, they would have been really stranded because nobody knew really the language and in a different place. So the Lord worked out everything, and I'm just thankful that I'm saved and I was able to go on this trip, and I'm thankful to be back, so it's good.
Hi, everybody. I just want to say that it's such a blessing to be back home. I have never missed Staten Island more than in this 3 weeks. But it was just really a blessing to see the Lord work in all of our lives. I was just really impressed with the Filipino people and their love for the Lord. They have nothing but love the Lord with all of their heart, and it was just such a blessing to see that. My favorite part of the trip was going to the hospital. Considering I wanted to be a nurse, it was just such a blessing to see, not really a blessing, but it touched my heart to see people who sleep on mats on the floor, and like it just made me think like Americans have it so good. Like we complain if there's a hair on a bed, but there were little kids like sleeping on the floor with ants crawling up the wall, and it was just a really like blessing to see how the people live over there. But I just want to thank the Lord that I'm home. Thank you for all your prayers. And
hello. Wow, this is a lot worse than this. I don't like speaking in front of people, and yeah, this is very scary. What? Lauren didn't. Yes, this. I'll start with the verse, which is what I ended up doing at one of the classes, because I just didn't know what to say, so I just decided to read a chapter.
Amen.
And from there just explain it. And I can't find Matthew.
Join the club with that jacket.
Okay. Matthew 10, 19, and 20. Sorry. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. When I heard that the trip had changed, and we weren't going to be going to the remote towns and passing out tracts, I have to admit I was a little upset, I don't know what the word would be, because I like that. I like passing out tracts. You don't have to talk to every single person. It's not a big group of people. If you have to talk to people in New York, it's just usually them saying something negative, and that's about it. And then when I heard the possibility of that we might have to speak in front of some one of the high schools, at that time it was only like the possibility of speaking in front of one class at one time, and that scared me half to death. And I was all nervous about it, and but it was just like, oh, just give your testimony, it's easy, your testimony, that's the easiest thing. And for me, I've always been a little awkward about my testimony because I was saved very young and grew up in church, and what is there much to say? But this trip, having to give my testimony many times, I actually learned that it's okay that my testimony is short, because any testimony, there's something in it. And mine was seeing Christ in hell for me, and that's one of the things that I tried to show the kids, say to the kids, like, especially like one of the times my brother was in the room, and him being a fireman, and I just brought that out, like he was in hell in the fire, and it was just, it helped me so much. And I was toward the end of the time there, and even Aunt Jane knows, everybody knows, I did not want to speak in the room, in the classes, I did not want to speak. I was like, oh, let the other kids, they do Sunday school, let all, like, the other girls, and that was definitely the wrong attitude I had. And by the end of the time, I remember the last day, I wanted to speak, that last day. I wanted to speak to the kids. I wanted to share, and I was thankful that I got that last opportunity to. And I guess that's it. Just thank the Lord.
Thank you.
going to be Satanan, Kalibanginko. I won't tell you what that means. Okay. I'm not making fun of anybody. I don't want to repeat what everyone kind of just said. Let me put the mic on. I said, I don't want to repeat what everybody, you know, just said about all the everything that we were able to do. But listening to it all and being on the trip, I thought of this verse the whole time, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. And I just seen a big door open in Davao. I mean, the city is just, to be able to get into schools, like they said, and hospitals, and even we met with like the mayor's right-hand guy, and he was up there talking to all the pastors, and me and Brother Steve and Pastor got an opportunity to listen to him, and he's a Christian and just gives freedom to be able to do anything we want to do in that city when it comes to the gospel. And it's such an open door, big open door, and I think that a lot of our prayers and the reason we have Manny there and supporting him is just you know, a big deal and a big thing there. And I'm, you know, I thank God for that open door. But I was also proud of everybody that went. I've been to the Philippines, you know, a number of times and lived there for a couple of years myself. And same like Debbie said, when I said we weren't going to go up and rough it so much, I was kind of like, oh, okay, you know, that's fine. But just like she said, it turned around to be a blessing. And I was really proud of the group that came with us. It was good to see even throughout the heat of the day and doing everything and getting over the fact of speaking for, you know, for all of us. It was just a blessing to see them. And I know who's a real blessing is Steve Upton. I don't want to single him out. I didn't even see him here tonight. Can I see him? Steve Upton? Oh, okay. Anyway. He just got so tired, but he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. It was a real blessing to watch him. And even so tired, sometimes we tell him some jokes, and, you know, he, like 10 minutes later, he would just start laughing about them. But this trip was different in the fact that every other time I went to the Philippines, I really dreaded coming home. I had no desire to want to come home any other trip. You know, I love it there. I love the people, like everyone said. And other than this church, there's really nothing I would miss about the United States. But this time it was different because my family was here and I was there. And I think that out of everything that went on and all the good things and the people that got saved and the open doors, God just showed me and gave me a more appreciation for my family and my wife and, I don't want to cry, my son and my daughter. Every kid I seen, I mean, it reminded me of my son. Every daughter I seen my daughter's face. I don't want to say every woman I seen, but okay. In a good way, you understand what I'm saying. So, I mean, I just missed them so much. And I don't think I would ever do that again, to be honest with you, to leave that long away from them, but it gave me just a more appreciation for them. I love them so much. And I think God just showed me kind of sometimes, you know, don't put the ministry before my family, you know. If my family's not involved with it, it's not going to profit me anything, any kind of ministry. So, but I appreciate your prayers. Thank you very much.
I really thank the Lord for allowing me to go on this trip. It was a real blessing. I didn't really get up and speak to anybody because I'm not good at it, and I can't. But I enjoyed giving out the tracts to everybody and helping to spread the word of the Lord. It was a really good time. We had a lot of fun. And it was a great trip getting to know my brothers and sisters better. spending each and every day with them, 24 hours a day. It was a lot of fun, though. I'm actually missing that now, but I'm glad that I'm home. I'm glad everybody made it home safe. And thank everybody for their prayers.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for your prayers. I've been to a few mission trips already before, and this one is different because the last time we were there, I mean, pastor just preached, we listened, sit, but this time we are really the front line. So we already had done some track distribution in New York, but in the Philippines, it's a different place. Although I'm from that place, but for 15 years, I'm not really familiar with the environment, so I have to open my ears and my eyes, especially that I know the language, just to, you know, make sure that we are not, you know, there's nothing wrong going on around. So, but I really learned something in this trip. If you open your Bibles in Colossians 2:2, chapter 2, verse 2. Says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The most important thing I learned here is that I think Pastor Mike has been mentioning this in Bible Institute, that you cannot be in the ministry as a lone ranger. And I learned that firsthand that you cannot really be in the mission as a lone ranger, because I can feel the camaraderie between the brethren, my sisters and my brothers. And I've been doing this myself as a lone ranger, like, you know, I just want to do it myself, but I found out and I learned something that, no. So God imparted in my heart.
Amen.
That you cannot really move by yourself. You have to be knit together with your brethren, with everybody. And I'm sorry that sometimes I'm like that. I don't want to mingle with anybody because I just want to do things myself. But no, God has proven it to me in this mission trip, that you have to be knit together with your brethren. And I thank God for that.
I might need a little help with this thing. Well, I thought I was nervous in the Philippines, but two things are going to happen. I'm going to pass out, or I'm going to throw up. I prefer passing out, but just a bit of a testimony before I open up God's Word. I had been wanting to go to the Philippines on a mission trip probably for about 8 years. I'm saved. It'll be 10 years November 8th this year. But something's always jumped out and spoke to me about the Philippines. Obviously the Lord doesn't make mistakes. This was my time, and He worked it out for me. But before I left, Pastor had asked if I would preach when we were there. And I have bad hearing, so I made believe I didn't hear him. I said, you know what? I know it's not going to be me. You know, Lord willing, at the time I was telling myself, I said, you know, if I just shut up and let the Lord do the talking, I'm sure everything will be fine. And, you know, it was a real blessing. But for about 2 years, I had something in my head, some verses and just some thoughts. I said, you know what? If I ever do get the chance to talk, if I just get over being a sissy and actually talk to somebody or in front of people, there was a couple of things. It was obviously fear, number one. Fear was a big thing with me. But just speaking, and what to say. And I had, before we left, I think it was a week before we left, I had Dave Carbocci and Andrea over for dinner. And we were talking, you know, and Dave was excited. You know, he heard that I was going to get an opportunity to preach. And we were just talking. You know, we had a good time fellowship that night. The next morning, he called me up and he said, "Brother, I got a blessing. You know, I want to give you a couple of verses, you know, to read. Let me know what you get out of it." So if you have your Bible, if you could just open up, it's just a couple of verses. This isn't anything to do with the message or anything. This is just, this is a blessing to start before I even left. In Jeremiah 1, verses 6, it says, this was Jeremiah speaking to the Lord, and then the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. It says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Now, at the time, they were verses, and I mean, the hairs on my neck stood up. I said, "Dave, that's amazing. You know, that's everything that I was thinking and everything that was in my heart at the time, and there it is in the verses." So I thank Dave again now for that. That was a huge blessing. But in that, I mean, it was all the things that I was talking about. It says, "I cannot speak." And it spoke about sending, we're commanded to speak about, and then be not afraid. Now, it's easy to tell somebody, "Don't be scared, just get up there and talk, you'll be fine." And it's not fine. You know, it's actually weird when I, that Sunday morning when I woke up after devotions, I said to myself, "What am I going to do right now?" And again, praise the Lord, we went to the church, and it just so happened that it was the biggest church there. So that was a good help. And you know, it was a real blessing, because once I got up there and I prayed, I said, "Lord, just take over." I remember the end. I remember praying and thanking the Lord for it. I don't remember anything that I said. You know, it wasn't me. The Lord just said, "You know what? Move over. Shut up. It's my turn." Took over, and you know, praise the Lord. You know, you know, as far as the mission trip itself, it's just you can't put words on it. You know, I can't sit up here and the pictures, the video, it's not going to do any justice for it. You know, me, unlike, you know, pretty much everyone that came up, I didn't want to come back. You know, there's just so much nonsense in this world and in everyday life that, you know, for me, maybe it's just being able to hide there. I just wanted to stay there because, like everybody said, the Lord's hand was right there smacking you in the face every day. Every day. Not a day went by when you didn't see that the Lord was just opening door after door after door. I mean, I've never witnessed anything like that before. I haven't been out too many times handing out tracts. You know, I haven't, you know, and that's my fault. I'm not, you know, I didn't run to the Philippines because people didn't speak the language. It helped with the message, but everyone spoke English. I spoke to Paul and he told me, he says, maybe some of them won't speak English. That's not true. But, you know, being there, obviously I miss my wife and my kids. And like my brother Paul said, it's the appreciation for them is, when you're away longer than an hour, you know, being away from your wife for an hour sometimes is very good. Sorry, babe. But I just didn't want to come back. If it wasn't for my wife and my kids, I think I would have stayed for a little while. I really liked seeing the open doors. You know, we got the chance. I gave my testimony first, and that was hard enough. You know, my testimony was different than everybody that was on the trip because I was Catholic. I was an altar boy. You know, I shot water at people on the altar. I shot some smoke at them, you know. But my testimony was different because I came from religion and now I have a relationship. I came from where there were laws, don't do this, don't do that, to where now there's salvation. And it's just amazing. I mean, the trip, I could stay up here till tomorrow morning talking about the trip. That's just seeing, we were in a high school, like, you know, a lot of everyone else said that. I remember one day I got to preach, and it was on sin. You know, it was on Adam and Eve in the garden, and just where sin came from, what sin does, what it causes, and the solution. And in the beginning, same thing. I was extremely, extremely nervous. I wanted to hide under the desk and just yell from down there. But when it was over, I wasn't nervous anymore. You know, you get to joke around with the kids. You know, obviously, I don't look Filipino. They knew that. They took advantage of it. And it caused some funny stuff. But at the end, I remember one day, we were done. We prayed. We left. And then as we were walking down, because it was scheduled times, you know, sometimes it was at 9, then 1, and, you know, certain people knew. One person was going to preach, the other person was going to give a testimony. And one of the days, I got done preaching, and then I was leaving, and the teacher came out, and a guy, Mike, that was with us, and he says, there's another class next door they want to hear. Can you do it? And I said, well, you know, everything was on time. We were going here, then we were leaving, going past our track. So I said, let me just go make sure that they're not going to leave me here, and then I'll come back. So, praise the Lord, we were staying for another hour. So when I came back, Brian Spratt was already preaching. So then he finished that message, and then I gave my testimony to that class. But, I mean, like they were saying, you just don't see that here. You don't, like, you give somebody a track, whether or not they were going to actually read it, they said thank you to us. That, you know, like, just stuff like that. Don't thank me for me giving, I mean, you know, I just felt so unworthy to be on that trip to start, you know. Who am I to be standing in front of them? So I just let them know every day that I'm not there because I was better than anybody on that trip. I'm not there because I'm from the United States. I'm from America, and we're better than them. No. You know what? From what I've seen, that country is head over heels in love with the Lord. I can't even put into words. Thank you for a track. We went to the hospital, and I'm a germaphobe, so I didn't want to lean on the walls, you know. There was blood on one of the walls. I showed Matt. He said, Matt, look on the wall. And it was like 5 minutes after that. Again, the Lord just kicked me and smacked me because we went into one area, and I guess it was part of the hospital. It wasn't an emergency room part, but it was all people. I mean, you walked in and it was like this, but just picture everybody laying down. They were on a bed. This guy's leg was broken. He had no arm. You know, just everyone had their own problems. And as we were walking out, me, Matt, and Nini were walking, and we gave a track to this guy, and he says, hey, what's your name? So I told my name, but then it didn't look like he really spoke that much more English, so Nini happened to be there. And Nini started talking to him. I guess he was explaining the track and, you know, salvation. The guy got saved. You know, that's just, you know, you could sit there, you can complain about something, or you could look and say, I'm going to get sick in this hospital, you know, it's dirty or whatever, but the Lord just shows you things like that and says, you know what, shut up, I'm going to do something. And it just, every day I got picked up in some way. It really was an unbelievable experience. You know, these pitches aren't going to do anything for this trip. You know, when I'm done and I sit down, I'm sure that didn't do anything for the trip. But I just thank the Lord that I was able to go, first of all. And then just from opening my eyes up. Now the problem is, when it's time to come home, you're going back to everyday life. Now, I work in construction. I'm in a concrete union. You know, there's no rainbows where I work. The conversations aren't so good. So I knew what I was going home to. So like 3 days from the end, I said, I really started praying about it. I said, Lord, I know when I get home, there's just going to be things that, you know, that I was around. Thank you. There's going to be things that I'm going to be around again, and people that I, you know, that I work with that aren't doing the right thing. You know, you know how it is. And sure enough, first day back, I have to go back to a job where, you know, before I left, there was an accident on a job and a friend of mine died. So from day one, from coming back, it was like, welcome back. And, you know, it really was an amazing trip. But I'm sure it's not going to be long if I don't faint first. We were doing devotions one morning. We were reading in Proverbs. And not that I wasn't listening to what people were reading. I just happened to look over in Proverbs 12:25. We were reading out of 13, and I just happened to be looking. And we were like two verses from the end. And I got a lot of blessings out of, you know, some of the verses that I read and hearing my brothers and sisters reading. But I just seen this verse. And this will, like, sum up my life for the last couple of years to the mission trip and till today. It says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now, when I was in the Philippines, in my testimony, I was able to talk about a certain event that I might not make it through, but just excuse me one second. That's not shaking, I did it on purpose. I was at work, I worked for the city for a year, and one day I was at work and I had to write violations to a company that was really annoying me, you know, having a bad day, and I came to a certain job site, and it was a demolition job, and they were doing things all wrong, but nobody was there, but I said, now I have to write violations, you know. Make a long story short, I got a phone call from my mom. It was on March 17th of 2006, and right off the bat, she was hysterical crying. I said, whoop, I guess my day's about to get worse. And then she told me that my nephew, Christopher, passed away. Excuse me. And again, I was complaining. I was having a bad day. And reality set in that it just got a lot worse. Now, I wish I could tell you that the first thing I did was pray, but it wasn't. I was crying, you know. Obviously, whatever happened with the job, I didn't care about. But he was at home, and there was an accident, and he passed away. He was 2.5 years old. And just this verse. Verses speak to you when you read, but this is like my life. So when I seen this when we were reading, I said, wow, Lord, I mean, you've been speaking to me through this trip. But, I mean, this is like... The Bible opened up, and he grabbed me, and I seen this, because since then, now I've been saved for 10 years, like I said, this November would be 10 years. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that for 10 years I was serving the Lord 100%. I'd be lying to you. I wasn't. You know, I pray every day, I would read. You know, I wouldn't read every day. There'd be plenty of days, maybe weeks that go by that I wouldn't get in God's Word. And maybe it was like systematic. Maybe it was just like, I would read, like on the express bus in the morning when I travel to Manhattan, I have a little Bible about this big. You can't even see the words. And I'll read from it. And I thought, like, after a while, I said, sometimes you just read to read, to say you read for the day. Like, that's myself. I'm not saying it for anybody else. But, like, there was times that I would just read and not get anything out of it for a long time. I wouldn't see anything. I wouldn't feel anything. And then I would say, okay, I read a couple of chapters. The lights are still out on the bus. I'm going to sleep. I'm tired. And, but since my nephew passed away, I really allowed myself to change. You know, I think about one specific thing. When I went to the hospital to wait for my brother Joey to get there, he didn't even know yet that his son wasn't, you know, he said he passed away. My brother Dominic was outside. My aunts, my mother, my father, everybody was outside hysterical crying. So my brother Dominic came over. He goes, Mike, we need for you to pray right now for us. You know, we need for you, please, pray, and maybe it'll get better. But I couldn't. I mean, I wish I could tell you I prayed and everything was fine, but I was still in such shock that I'm at a hospital waiting for my brother to come to find out that his son's not alive anymore. And I promised this will get happy sooner or later. I didn't have everyone, you know, I don't want to depress everybody, but just from that day on, I allowed myself to change. You know, I got hard. I allowed myself to get... I just distanced myself from the Word. And I still would go through the motions. I would read. I would pray, you know, for dinner. I'd have my kids pray. I would pray. My wife. And, you know, again, I figured, hey, I'm still praying. Everything's got to be fine. You know, God says if I read, I'll be good. But, now I know that that's not the case. a lot happened in the last 2.5 years. You know, it's just, I allowed certain things to come in, and, you know, I allowed my joy to get robbed from me. And it's that verse, heaviness. Heaviness could be anything. It doesn't have to be a passing away of a family member. It could be losing a job. Over the last couple of years, my father's gotten cancer in 2 different spots. My brother Dominic's been in the hospital more than he's been out. You know, everyone has their problems and everyone has their own heaviness, but it's what you choose to do with the heaviness. I see that now. You know, I chose to hold my heaviness in. I have never spoken about this until tonight. I wouldn't even speak to my wife about it because I couldn't mention his name without falling apart. So forgive me again for falling apart, but, you know, I would give my testimony, and I spoke to the kids in the class, and I said, you could be 100 years old. You could be like the Old Testament. You know, people were a couple hundred years old. Not now. Maybe you live to 80. You know, whenever the Lord says your time is up, your time is up. So it was good because I got to use that, and maybe it scared them a little bit. You know, they're 16, 17 years old. You do need to be scared at that age. I was that age. You know, I didn't have anybody at that age to come to me and show me something like that. So I said, you know what? My testimony is different than everybody's here. I'm going to use it for the Lord, and I'm sure some good will come out of it. And I spoke to them, and I let them know that I have family members that passed away at 60. My grandfather, my father's father, died of prostate cancer at, I think he was like 65 years old. And I have family members. My wife's grandmother was 211. You know, I have family members that passed away at later ages. But I also have the nephew that passed away at 2.5 years old. And when I said that, again, you could ask my wife. I never spoke about this before. And their heads popped up. 2.5 years old. Why? I don't know. I'll never know. For the first year, I was trying to figure out why. You know, and I would sugarcoat my brother's sorrows and his wife. I have no idea what they feel still to this day. And I would talk to him and I would tell him, Joe, I don't know why, but the Lord's going to do something with this. I know it's not what you want to hear. You know, the day it happened, I'm sorry, he told me he hated God. Now, the first thing I wanted to do was say, how could you hate God? But I said, you know what, let's take it from where it's coming from. His son just passed away. Don't be stupid. So, little by little, I got the chance to speak to him about it. And he started calming down in the sense where it wasn't hating God anymore. He just wanted to know if I knew the answer why God did it. Now, I have no idea. But I remember Brother Eddie Keeley came over one night because him and his wife wanted to come over and speak about it. So I started seeing the better parts of it, the good that's coming out of it now, because they wanted to know if he was in heaven for sure. Now, contrary to what some people may think, not in this church, because I know this church goes by this word, and praise the Lord for it. But he was 2.5 years old. He's a baby. You know, he didn't know anything. And I know there's an age of accountability for everybody. It's different. But he's in heaven. The day it happened and his eyes closed, the first thing he seen was Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing I told him. Now, that's not going to make him feel better. You know, it made me feel a little bit better because it's the truth and I know it. I see it. I read it. I hear it. You know, and it was a huge blessing to be able to at least say one of God's promises. He's in heaven now. And now it came to, my brother had made a profession of faith the day that I got baptized. My mom, my dad, and my brother Joey. And so when he wanted to come over, and he said, could you show me some things from the Bible that'll show me that Christopher's in heaven? Now, I wasn't in any mind frame to start finding verses. You know, I was still, you know, it still really was taking a toll on me. So I called Brother Eddie up and I said, you have to come over. My brother and his wife are coming over. Can you please come over and just, can you show them some verses and assurance on his salvation? And praise the Lord, he was able to come over. And I don't know if they got any comfort out of it. That night, I gave my brother a Bible. I had another Bible. And I gave it to him, and I said, here, read this. And we, you know, we put some marks in there for him to read. But I've spoken to him, and he tells me he's saved. His wife, I don't think she's saved. You know, She says she believes that there's a God and, you know, pretty much the whole Catholic thing. But not to get off of the point, it's just heaviness to me. I went over heaviness in the Bible, and I just came up with a couple of verses. And the verses that I came up with here that I found, heaviness was never good in this. And I just, if we could just go over a couple of these verses. In Job chapter 9, verse 27. It says, if I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. Now, to me, that's kind of what I did the day it happened at the hospital. I tried to automatically start thinking of things I could do for myself to comfort myself. First, let's pray. I should have prayed already. Let's just. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this day. I just thank you so much for the just to be able to come up here and open your word, Lord. I know I'm undeserving, Lord. I give you all the honor and glory, Lord. I just ask that you just put me aside, Lord. Just move me out of the way, and I pray you take over, Lord. I pray you help me not to say anything that I shouldn't, Lord. I pray you give me the right words to say. Use me, Lord, as the vessel, and I just, again, I just thank you for your word, and just please help me to get through this, Lord, and I just thank you so much. I praise you and love you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When things happen, again, whether it's great or small, automatically the flesh wants to make believe that it knows what you're supposed to do. And again, I allowed that to happen right from the beginning. I started thinking of ways that I would maybe feel better. So my wife will tell you, I tried to get involved in any sport that I could find to occupy my time. I was always involved in sports, but that was always like my venting. Like, especially when my nephew passed away, I had to just keep doing, because I just couldn't sit still, because if I sat still for too much time, nothing good ever came out of it. So I took up three hockey teams, two softball teams. I can't play basketball. I didn't take any basketball on. But I just tried to occupy my time with the wrong things. Now, sports in itself, to me, is not wrong. It's just if you allow it to overtake your life and get interfere with what the Lord has for you, then that's wrong. You know, I've always battled, sports was always my thing. I never was really hooked on anything but sports, you know. So I took a lot of that stuff up, and I tried to comfort myself. Like the verse said, that's what I was doing. You know, I wasn't looking to the Lord. I didn't say, Lord, today I need you. Please just show me, what am I supposed to do? So that verse really hit me good. There's another, if we could go to Psalm 69:20. It says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, and there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Now, I just, out of that, you know, the world is easy. The world has this master plan for when something happens. You know, the first thing is people say, oh, you know, my grandmother, oh, Mesquina, you know, pities. And people are looking for someone to, like the pity, and out of that I got that the Lord is the only one. I mean, I didn't go to him, and I don't need the world to pity me. I'm not up here complaining. I don't want anybody to think I'm complaining about it. You know, I got such a blessing out of that verse, and it really just summed up the main reason I wanted to go on this missions trip was to leave myself behind and, Lord willing, to come back different. And I didn't come back 100%, but I just got such a blessing out of being around everyone and just being there and seeing the Lord work. It was as clear as day that he was standing there doing the works and just seeing it. It was really amazing. And one more verse on the sad stuff, and then we'll finish the other part of the verse. But in Psalm 119:28. It says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Now that's it there. Strengthen and thy word. This is our strength. I see that now. This is it. You know, I searched for 2.5 years. You know, I put my wife through things that I shouldn't have. You know, I allowed myself to get cold. You know, and out of heaviness, there's never anything good that comes out of it. You know, I wrote a couple of things down, again, based on my experience. Number one, my joy I allowed to get taken from me. Not because of the situation that happened, but just what I chose to do from that day on till. But, you know, I still battle with it today, obviously, and I'm going to pray every day that the Lord will just give me more and more victory over it. But number one, my joy was taken away from me because I chose to do things on my own. Now, along the way also, I lost my testimony in front of certain people that I won't get the opportunity to get back, unfortunately. You know, I allowed people to see a cold side of me. I would be traveling and somebody would be on a bus reading a Bible that I don't know what it was. Maybe I had the opportunity to speak and I start a conversation with them. I let that go by too. Co-workers. There's some co-workers that I have that don't even know that I'm saved. Some jobs I was on that maybe they didn't know I was saved. But there's some that do know, and sometimes that's not any better than the ones that don't, because they, you know, push the buttons and stuff. And but again, the main thing was that I tried to do it on my own, and I didn't seek, you know, what the Lord wanted and how He was going to get me through it. Just in my family alone, you know, my wife has put up with me, and she's always tried to talk to me about what happened, and I couldn't even speak to my wife about it. You know, I just chose to keep it in my head and just walk straight and not talk to anybody about it. There were times I didn't even speak to the Lord about it. I was just so hardened by it that I was. It's not even that I was mad. I wasn't mad at the Lord. I didn't understand. I wouldn't know why He would take a 2.5-year-old when there's people in the world that are, you know, whatever, doing things. I just started thinking things. And I'm sure the devil slipped some things in there and said, you know, you're saved, and how could this be your joy? Your nephew's in heaven, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, I allowed things to happen. It was my own fault for just from day one just saying, Lord, please, I need you. You have to help me through this. But, you know, I was talking to Brother Paul before, and I just said, you know, I have some stuff written down, and I hope it makes sense. I'm not a preacher. I can't stand up here. I don't even deserve to be standing up here reading God's Word. So forgive me if I'm all over the place. But he brought up a good point. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Now, I went to the University of Concrete, and I graduated with honors. So when I seen stoop, I took the O out and I made it stop. Because that's, you know, and I looked it up, and then I told Paul, I said, can I take the O out and just make it stop? It's easy to do. He says, no, you know. And he said, no, pretty much. But if you think about it, like, he brought up a good thing. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Now, your heaviness, whether it's the death of a relative, or losing a job, whatever it is, it's weight on your shoulders, and it causes you to stoop over. And the blessing that I got out of what he said was that it causes you to stoop over till you fall, and now it's what you do when you fall. The Lord's saying, fall down. He brings you to a point where you're down now. What are you going to do? What I was supposed to do was pray, while I'm down, Lord, I'm at my bottom, and I need you to help me through this. I didn't do that. So for 2.5 years, I've been trying to do things on my own and allowing certain things to happen and decisions I made that I regret. But, you know, I praise the Lord that it's as plain as day when you're going through something, how easy it is to get victory over something. So if we go back to Proverbs, the second part of that verse is the best part of the verse. But a good word maketh it glad. Now, I'm sure no one wanted to come here. Everyone thought they were coming to see pictures of the mission trip, and they see me crying instead. But I have just a couple of verses on that, and I promise I'll be done. But the good word, I mean, amen, it is a good word. It's the best word. Amen. And I see that, not just from the mission trip. You know, I didn't come back a changed Christian. I came back a Christian that's seen God working. You know, I actually seen His hand in things. I can't put it into words, but getting back to, if you could just turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. It says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." Now, I mean, I wish it would have been that simple 2.5 years ago that I'm saved and I should know that this is what I'm supposed to do, but it wasn't. But again, I mean, these verses are here, and sometimes I read over something and I don't see it, and just... when we were reading that morning and I seen that verse, it really just, I mean, I got hit hard with it. And it's just the powers of the world to come, okay, but, and have tasted the good word of God. I had tasted it for 9 years. I had little taste here and there. And it's just so funny how the Lord will give you a little bit more this day. Sometimes I felt like I didn't get anything. And sometimes the Lord just closes your head in there and says, this is today, this is your verse. And I have just a couple of more verses. If you turn to Zechariah 1:13, I lost my where'd it go? I lost it. I got it. I lost my mark. I got to go to my cheat sheet, like Kevin said. I had a mark in there, and now it's gone. Okay. One second. Okay, here we go. 1:13. "And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words." Good words.
Amen.
Again, I mean, it's clear to me that the Lord is, when the Lord's speaking, whether it be to Jeremiah, to the angels, it's good words. He speaks to you with good words. There's nothing in here that He's going to tell you that's not good. There's nothing in here. There's no advice He's going to give you to steer you wrong. There's nothing in here. Like, I was talking to my kids last night about God's promises. And I said, praise the Lord that when the Lord promises you something, He keeps His promise.
Amen.
And I was trying to tell my kids that when we make a promise, it might not always be fulfilled. I might not keep my promise. Now, they'll see that they're going to promise. They promised me things already that 5 minutes later, the promise changed. But I just thank the Lord that His promises don't change.
Amen.
His word doesn't change. You know, and people get comforted in different ways, and maybe some of the verses don't really speak to you and show you what I got out of it. But I'll tell you what, these verses really hit me good. And if we go back to Jeremiah 29:10, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years being accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Now again, it speaks about perform my good word toward you. Now, I mean, I didn't really look into the performance part of it, but I looked into the good word again. I see it now. I consider it a great word. First of all, the best word, the only word. Now, I wish every day I could live that and I could, you know, I could feel that way. When we were in the Philippines, we were away from the world. I was away from my job. I was away from the nonsense. I was away from just everything. You know, my wife didn't get to experience that, and I really wish, you know, that maybe she'd be able to go one day, or maybe we can go there and maybe even take a vacation there. But just to be able to go, I kind of felt like a little selfish, because here I am. I came back and I seen all these wonderful things. I seen the way the Lord was working. I actually seen, you know, when Manny and Terry would request prayer, it's a prayer request. I looked into it as, okay, I'm going to write it down and I'm going to pray for them. But you know what? Seeing what they're doing there is unbelievable. The way the Lord is working there, it's just like, every church that we went to loves the Lord. The first 2 days we split up with the crew, me and Matt went with Pastor to a pastor's conference. You know, me and Matt are at a pastor's conference. I had no idea what was going on. We looked good. We were in the front like, oh, yeah, huh? Yeah. You know, I get to hear Pastor preach every Sunday, and I appreciate it every Sunday. It's amazing, you know, what the Lord does. Just speaks through him. But, you know, like, there was things that Pastor was talking about, and I was like, huh? That's in here? And again, I mean, some of the pastors there, you know, were having a hard time with it too because it was new to them. So, it was just me and Matt were separated. So that part was good because we got to hear things that, I mean, at least I did. I never heard before, or things that I was writing down notes knowing that I was going to be preaching that next Sunday. So I was taking notes and stuff. But I just thank the Lord that for every trial and tribulation comes, that there's a better part. That he's on the other side of it saying, give it to me and I'll help you. And I just have a couple of these verses I put in there because when I was writing this out, I was hysterical crying. So not that it was any new tonight, but just a couple of, I found these verses and it was the Lord trying to comfort me. So I just, if you could turn to Psalm 61, 1 and 2. It says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And, again, that's just another verse where it's as plain as day. When my heart is overwhelmed, my heart couldn't get more overwhelmed. Now, I'm not using the situation that happened as a crutch. You know, I'm not looking for sympathy on it or pity, but it was just, I allowed something to get somewhere where it shouldn't have went, and on top of my parents, you know, my father going through what he's going through, my brother going through what he's going through, my nephew passing away, and my mom dealing with the both of them, I was on a job where there was an accident, the crane collapsed, a friend of mine died, another guy died, right in front of my face. You know, I seen them. And I just got to a point when I said, Lord, when that happened, I was just ready to give up. I wanted to quit my job. I wanted to just go hide, I guess. So when I first heard about the Philippines trip, I'm saying to myself, wow, that's an opportunity where hopefully people go on these mission trips and they come back changed, or they come back with a joy. And that was my desire was to leave the nonsense behind, to leave what I was doing wrong behind, to leave myself behind and come back with the Lord like a fire. And I prayed about that, and I didn't even really speak to my wife about it, but the Lord was really speaking to me. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, I missed work, and I'm not complaining. You know, my job, they don't care what you do. If I would have told them I was going on a mission trip, they would have fired me. So I told them I was going on vacation, you know, just because I obviously need a job. So when I was on the trip itself, there would be times where I would just walk away or just sit somewhere and listen. And I really just felt like the Lord was just sitting next to me with his arm around me saying, everything's going to be fine. Now, I know that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect from now on. The difference is when you're saved, you could see that there's some good that'll come out of it. Now, the Lord's going to knock you down, but he'll pick you up. And I got picked up because I finally seen that I needed to be picked up from the right person. I couldn't get up myself. You know, the heaviness caused me to stoop over, and I stayed over for 2.5 years. And I'm not up here because I'm a changed person. I'm not up here to tell you that I'm better than anything. But I'm just here because I got a blessing out of it. And the Lord's really, he was really speaking to me on that trip. And I just ask you to just please continue to pray for me that I could get some more victory in that. And most importantly, just to change the way what I do with that situation. In my family life, my marriage, with my kids. You know, I allowed myself to I kind of like distanced myself. I looked at my kids as my nephew. I seen his face on my kids. So I distanced myself from my kids for a while. But on the good side, I just have two more verses. These are good verses. Turn to John 15, and then I'm done, I promise. John 15, verse 11. And it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Again, it's the Lord speaking. If I can't listen to Him, who am I going to listen to? He does not lie. He knew no lies. He's telling me something here, and I take it from where it's coming from. You know, instead of speaking to my mom on the phone, and she knew, like, she came to visit, and the whole time she was there, I might have only said like six words to her. Good morning. Dinner's good. Good night. She was there for a week almost. Was it a week? Yeah. And she said, "Mike, what's wrong with you? You changed." So for my mother to see it, now my mom, I can't hide anything from my mother. You know, I allowed that to get myself into a point where I was at my bottom. You know, and I always heard people, for the last 2.5 years, I would hear somebody in the service say, or someone through testimony say, "The Lord finally knocked me down to the ground where I'm at my rock bottom." Now, somebody's rock bottom doesn't have to be as bad as another person's rock bottom, but that was my rock bottom without even knowing it. I was there for 2 years. I was at my rock bottom. I was out of the Lord's will. I was out of His word. I was ruining my marriage, my kids. I was doing things wrong without seeing it. You know, and my wife would try to talk to me about it, and I would snap. Or my mother would, she was there, and I said, "Ma, you're here on vacation. Don't come here to start pointing fingers at me." But, you know, I'm glad that sometimes it does take somebody to point a finger at you. But I'm just glad that you have somewhere to go, the most important place to go when you need somebody to pick you up. And one more verse, just in chapter 16 of John 22. It says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy shall no man take it from you." Knowing that I'm going to see the Lord, whether it be tomorrow at work, I pass away, or 95 years old. I know I'm going to see the Lord. And maybe He'll explain to me why certain things happen in my life. But you know what? Maybe you won't. I don't know. But I do know that doing things on your own is not going to do anything for you. Now, I guess, I'm leaving so much stuff out, and I put some things in, and I hope it made somewhat sense. But the big thing is that when you're saved, you can go to the Lord. But imagine the unsaved. Where do they go? Someone that goes through something like this that's not saved, that they don't have the good word. You know, I think about that. You know, what if I was unsaved? To be honest, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. Well, obviously I wouldn't be standing here today, but I wouldn't be alive. I might have taken an easy way out. I might, you know, who knows? You know, I heard my brother tell me that he was going to commit suicide every day for a year. You know, I forced myself on him. There was times I just went to his apartment to make sure he was all right. But he made a profession of faith, and he didn't really know much, so he wasn't reading. But imagine having that as being unsaved. I think about that. And I think about all the people that I talk to on a daily basis that are going through things. Like my friend at work, that his son was going for open heart surgery, and then his mother passed away in the same week. You know, I spoke to him about it. I told him that I was saved, and, you know, I told him about our church. And right away the thing was, oh, you know, before his mother was even sick, he brought her up as an example. He said, "Well, my mom prays a lot." Because I said, "You're in our church bulletin. You know, I put you in as a prayer request, and my church is praying for you." And he was like, "Oh, that's cool. Thank you very much. My mom prays every day." You know, people hear prayer, and they think of the type of prayer that they're doing. You know, I think about all the things growing up Catholic that I was doing that weren't anything. And I think about how easy it is now that a thought could come into my head and it could ruin the rest of my day. You know, I could think about my nephew and my day is ruined. But it's so easy to say, "Lord, please just help me. Help me now from when I'm done praying, just get me through the rest of this day." And somehow the Lord's going to do it. He's going to do it. It might not be that second. It might be an hour and a half. It might be the end of the day. It might be on the way home when I'm reading and I see a verse and I say, "Thank you, Lord." But it really is a blessing knowing that at least now things are brought to my attention on what I was doing wrong. And I just pray that, and if you could just continue to pray too, that I'll just seek what the Lord has and give it to Him. That's what I've been doing. That trip really, it's not a mission trip to me. It was like my life. From the verse that Dave Carbocci gave me that put everything in a nutshell, and just being up here today, you know, I guess more it was more of a extended testimony. But on top of it, you know, I just praise the Lord that I was able to get through speaking about my nephew. But today would have been his fifth birthday. That's not coincidence, you know, that I could stand up here and talk about it. Today would have been his birthday. And, you know, I just ask you just continue to pray for my brother and his wife. I haven't spoke to him in a while. They did have another baby, a baby girl, since my nephew passed away. But just keep them in prayer also that, you know, especially on a day like this, I'm sure no matter what happens, it's not a day to forget anything. But I just thank you very much for allowing me to talk. And I actually do feel better. This is my family. I have immediate family, and then I have my church family. So you know what? I mean, I was supposed to... I mean, I have to tell this part too because it's funny. When we were in the Philippines, I provided entertainment. It was like a comedian. I got to play basketball in front of people. Now, those of you who know me... know that I cannot play basketball. If I pass you the ball, you're probably going to break a finger, and I'm probably going to shoulder block you because I think I'm playing hockey. But Paul had a basketball ministry, for whatever reason, they wanted me to play in basketball, and it was me, Matt, Paul, and a couple of the other guys, and it was really hideous. They played good, obviously, and I got to steal one ball, and I didn't even take a shot because I took 65 practice shots, and not one of them went in. So now, you know, they're announcing it and stuff, but, you know, it's just, that was pretty funny, you know. I just thank the Lord again. You know, that trip wasn't just 2 weeks away from my wife. It was 2 weeks with the Lord every day, and 2 weeks to get closer to my church family. And I just, I was supposed to preach on the radio that night about this. And after the game was over, we had a chance to go home, take a shower, and get dressed up. No. We had to go in our clothes from playing basketball at 190 degrees humidity. We had to go sit in a nice restaurant. And, and I had a glass of water that I wasn't supposed to drink. Pastor said, stop drinking it, brother. But, you know, it was really good. And that night I was supposed to, from that restaurant, we were supposed to go preach. But you know what? The Lord doesn't make mistakes. And He had this... He had it worked out where Pastor said, you know what? If you can't do it tonight because of the time, you think you could do it a Wednesday night? Now, I wanted to run to the radio channel that night. Now, I remember I told Matt and I told Paul, I said, what am I going to do? I can't preach in front of people that understand English that I know every day. You know, praise the Lord for it. I know it happened for a reason. And I hope that maybe somebody got a blessing out of it. Because I got a blessing out of it just reading it and seeing how easy it is, you know, just for you listen to the Lord and He's not going to see you wrong. So, thank you very much. And now we get to look at the pictures, hopefully.
All right, well, the hour grows late, but if you want to sit through 15 minutes of slides, that's all it'll take. It took us 15 hours to put these 15 minutes together, so you're going to sit through it. it'll be over quick. It won't hurt too much, but I think you'll get a blessing out of it. Have a verse before we look at these. I didn't have a Franklin, so I was trying to remember where this verse. And if anybody's got a Franklin, there's a verse that goes, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart," something like that. Lamentations, right? See if you can find that. But anyway, I was thinking of John chapter 4, verse 35, where the Lord said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields." And it's good for us to take a look at where the need is. And in Lamentations 3:51, Jeremiah is talking about observing the destruction of the city.